I want to talk to you tonight about top 10 reasons Eve was created. No, I'm just kidding. Talk about the joy of the Lord tonight and laughter. Laughter in the Lord. I want to start out tonight by deeply apologizing to you. I got spanked today several times. I've gotten very, very tough. And I don't know what happened the last couple months, but I deeply ask your forgiveness. I don't want to be seen as somebody that put all these demands on people. God said I was getting pharisaical. So I had to do some heavy repent. I'm not done yet. God's not done with me in the woodshed. So I'll have some marks on me come Sunday, I'm sure. And I'll have a lot more to say about the subject. But please forgive me for that. I don't mean to put all this, you know. So we're going to take a little hiatus from Hebrews for a little bit. And actually, I'm going to do a series called Sunny Side Up. So I don't know what that's all about. Got the title and some things that God... I'm going to leave my way of doing things. I like being topic... I like being expository, which means I like going through verses. And I'm going to do topical messages for the next few weeks. We're going to come back to Hebrews, but we're going to take a breather. Because how many know Hebrews? How many are reading ahead? Hebrews is like, oh my goodness. I mean, it's graduate school. And that's personal. I mean, you got to get in there and say, God, I'm willing to carry this cross. If we preach it too hard, we get to see God as a guy with a whip and a chain. How many know God's not a God with a whip and a chain? He's pretty humorous. If you don't think he's humorous, go home, take your clothes off, and stand in front of a mirror. He's humorous. He's got a sense of humor. And I used to have a lot better sense of humor. And today, I was taking a run, and God was telling me some jokes. So, is that all right? God can tell you jokes, can't he? I'm going to try something on you on Sunday and see if they work. A wise man said, joy in Christ requires a commitment to working at the Christian lifestyle. It's a quote, salvation comes as a gift, but the joy of salvation demands discipline, action. We actually really have to have some faith to believe that God is here not to make us miserable, but he's to make us joyful. I mean, you know, we're joyful in our salvation. And, you know, God used my line on me. Today he said, you look like you've been baptized in pickle juice. Why don't you have some fun, you know? And a lot of people know enough about the biblical message to keep them from doing the things which the world tempts them to do, but they do not have enough of a commitment to God to just have fun with him. Humor is a natural medicine that we simply must have more of. We need it. Laughter does good like a medicine, the scripture says. It may not cure cancer, but it sure makes the sadness, confusion, hurt, and uncertainty that comes with cancer go away. Humor will probably not secure a job in a down economy, but it will sure ease the load and keep us from self-pity. I remember when Terry and I were making, we found every way to make a potato that you can know. We took potatoes and we had potato everything, even potato dessert. I'm telling you, you don't think that's humorous. That can be funny. Proverbs 31:25, God says, it's quoted in Proverbs, Solomon says, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. And then in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it says, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to weep and a time to laugh. And then in Luke 6:21, Jesus said, blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. So God expects us, one of the foundational stories of the Old Testament, as a matter of fact, the guy that started this whole thing, Abraham, started with laughter. Well, you know, there's all kinds of things about the Abraham story that will make you laugh. Don't have any more than one wife, although they did in the Old Testament a lot, but how many know? Abraham had nothing but headaches with Sarah or with Hagar. I mean, that was funny. It was funny if it wouldn't have been so sad. It turned out to be. It all started with Sarah and Abraham in Genesis 16 and 17. We hear laughter for the first time in the Bible. Turn with me to chapter 17. Chapter 17. Chapter 17, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Abraham fell on his face and God talked with him saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, father of many nations. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful and I will make nations of you and kings will come from you. In this chapter, Abraham and Sarah are given new names. Abram was exalted father. God changed his name to father of many. Sarai met my princess, and she went from my princess to a princess. Sarah means a princess. As the establishment of they both established a new and a free and a blessed people. Now God has promised similar things before to this. In Genesis 15, God's promised that Abram would have a son when he was 80-some. Now he's 90-some. He's not 100 years old till he has a baby. That's funny stuff. Because God waits until the impossible. Our God is a God of the impossible. People say it's impossible for this nation to come back. I say, you watch. You watch what God will do. Because he's a God of the impossible. And some of the things that are happening are going to be really funny, be really humorous, because God's going to turn us back from the brink of destruction. Hagar conceived and gave birth to Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. He impregnated her 85 and 86. He had a baby in Genesis 16:16. So God comes to Abraham in 17. He comes to Abram and changes his name and promises a son through Sarah. The oldest known woman to have a baby in the 21st century, her name is Maria del Carmen, is the oldest verified mother in modern times. She was aged 66 years, 358 days when she gave birth to twins on December 2006. 66 years old and she has twins. That's pretty fantastic. Abraham is almost 100 and Sarah is 90. Every mother goes, ugh. Here God names his son Isaac. He laughs. Turn with me to Genesis 18. The three angels have come to visit. In verse 12 it says, therefore Sarah, and let's back up, we'll look at verse 11. Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. No kidding. Therefore, just in case you didn't know, you thought they had babies at 80 years old, 90 years old. She was past the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Now, you'll notice that God did not punish Sarah. How many know God punished Zechariah when he said, how can this be? He punished him by not allowing him to hear or speak for 9 months. To his wife, that's probably a blessing. I don't need to hear him anymore, you know. But for him, it was God's judgment. But on Sarah, you'll notice God didn't judge her. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you in verse 14, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. And then he told her she was going to name her son Isaac, which means laughter. The Lord comes to Abraham and says this in the tent. Sarah's laugh. And now many are hard on Sarah because she said, I did not laugh. At first glance, it seems that God is rebuking Sarah for her laughter. He's not. Is Sarah's laughter because of skepticism? No. Is it scoffing laughter? It's not. Is hers the kind of laughter that is unnatural in a situation like hers? I believe it is. She laughed because she said, look, I'm 90 years old. I'm 89 years old. I'm not going to have any babies. How many would laugh if somebody tell you it? If God would come and tell my wife you're pregnant, my wife would laugh. That would be her first inclination. Who wouldn't have laughed in Abraham's and Sarah's situations? They are decades beyond picking up their first Social Security retirement check. God has to be kidding. They're laughing instead of crying. They're laughing instead of going crazy. All kinds of problems arise when you're 90 years old and you're going to be pregnant. Now, what God did, I believe God did a miracle and turned her body into a 30-year-old. That's what I believe, because the king wanted her just briefly after that. You can read that. God calls out Sarah and shows her a lie on her part, but he makes no judgment. God wanted Sarah to laugh, if nothing else, for the name of the child Isaac. God might be saying, do you see how comical, how wonderfully funny you and all the rest of my creation is to me? We worry about the smallest things, about the stupidest things sometimes. How many have been right in the middle of a good worry? You've got all the facts in place. And you are worrying, and it's a good worry. Come on, somebody. And God comes to you and says, don't worry. I got it all taken care of. And almost it never turns out like we think it's going to turn out. We have all kinds of worry and fear that things are going to turn out bad, and God says, I got this. Even if there was some skepticism on Sarah's part, we see that God fulfilled his promise. Isaac was born when she was 90 and Abraham was 100, of course. Has God ever made us laugh? Has God answered our prayers? God answered Sarah's prayers. Is God's timing perfect? And it made Sarah laugh. Because let me tell you, she was praying for a long time for pregnancy. Her and Abram got married at a young age. 20 came, left. 30 came and left. 40 came and left. 50 came and left. 60 came and left. 70 came and left. 80 came and left. God, I want to have a child. Come on, somebody. When she was in her 70s, she said, I'm not going to have a child. Here's Hagar going to her. Abraham was 85 and she was 75. And she said, I'm 75. I'm past childbearing. This ain't going to happen, but I'll have a baby through my concubine, through my servant. And at 90 years old, when it's all gone, wouldn't you laugh? Now, I've been praying this prayer, God. You mean, what happened between here? Is there like construction that had to take detours? The prayer had to take like... Now, I prayed this prayer when I was 20 years old. Let me have a son. I mean, you know, God populated the earth out of her offspring. One son, Isaac. Come on, somebody. That's funny. If you're going to populate a planet, you want to have somebody like, you know, David with his 700 wives and 300 concubines. You know, imagine if each woman and concubine had 6 kids, you know how many children he had? 6,000 kids. Yeah. Can you imagine naming him? Tell me your name. And don't lie to me because I'll find out. No, I'm going to find out your name. Yeah, George Foreman. Pardon me. Oh, man, I'm telling you. So, Genesis goes on to say, she laughed and everyone around her laughed. When Isaac was born, she laughed and everyone around her laughed. Have we noticed how when we see someone laughing, we want to be let in on the joke? That was Sarah's plan. She had gotten a surprise gift and wanted to share her joy. The gift of humor. What are the benefits of laughter anyway? Number one, if you're taking notes, laughing helps us not to take ourselves too seriously. I was pontificating with the Father a couple of days ago about how adept I'd got at obeying him. And God always has a way of bringing us back to reality. Being able to laugh at yourself may be a sign of an optimistic personality and a sense of humor, according to a 2011 study, and it might even improve your mood. Laughter does good like medicine, Scripture says. We need to not take ourselves so seriously. Humor has also been identified as a possible factor in personal resilience. If you can laugh at yourself, Susan Sparks, author of Laugh Your Way to Grace, you can forgive yourself. And if you can forgive yourself, you can forgive others. How many know? I'm president of the stupid club. How many have ever done something really stupid? Happens to me all the time. Happy is a person who can laugh at himself. He will never be short on entertainment. You know, take God seriously, but don't take ourselves so seriously. God created laughter. In fact, He started the whole nation of Israel on laughter. Well, He could have named Isaac anything. He could have named him Kufbach, which means sad. I mean, he had named him Isaac. Come on. Think about that. He could have named him anything. He names him laughter. That's pretty funny. Laughter helps us heal physically, psychologically, and spiritually. Norman Cousins has documented how he participated in his own healing by laughing himself into health. When he was discovered to have heart ailment, he began taking massive amounts of vitamin C and making himself laugh. Cousins said that he made the joyous discovery that 10 minutes of genuine belly laughter had a pain-killing effect and would give him at least 2 hours of pain-free sleep with no medicine. Laughter helps us to maintain balance in a world that is overly serious and miserable. We've got all this bad news. And we don't want to be silly about things and laugh at everything. Well, we need to understand that we have eternal life. God's got our life in His hands. Marlo Thomas, when she was growing up, she wrote a book called My Story. She said, Danny Thomas, her father would ask her anything funny happened at school today. And because of her father's influence, Marlo included laughter and fun into the very fabric of her life. He would say, tell me what funny happened today. Laughter helps individuals and communities stay sane. I'm not talking about abusive laughter. I'm not talking about perverted laughter. Remember when we used to laugh at just things like 10 Reasons Why Evil Was Created? It seems silly now, but Those are funny things. Those are funny bone ticklers. Mental health benefits adds joy and zest to life. Psychiatrists say it eases anxiety and fear. It relieves stress, improves mood, and enhances resilience. Even people that don't know God know that. Social benefits, it strengthens relationships, it attracts others to us, it enhances teamwork, helps diffuse conflict, it promotes group bonding. We need to smile about our relationship with God. Maya Angelou recalls that before the Civil War in the South, slaves had a practice of going to the laughing barrel to express themselves. Laughing was not allowed on many plantations, so when they couldn't help themselves, they'd go to a barrel and lean way over as if they were trying to retrieve something and laugh themselves silly. They found it good. They found it a stress relief. Come on, somebody. Laughter empowers us to live more and more into the image of God in which we were created. God said, let us make man in our own image, in our likeness. Could it be that laughing is something that we are able to behold the angle of God's personality? Could it be that we get a picture of God's personality? It seems impossible to imagine God without a sense of humor. As I said, we look at His creation is funny, including us. The older we get, the funnier we get. When my knees and my ankles don't do what I want them to, it can get pretty funny. There are, of course, many times when He expects us to be serious, of course, but God doesn't commit. You know, the other thing is He doesn't commit practical jokes. I'm not talking about making fun of people. God never laughs at sin. He never laughs at sin, but He's a humorous God. Well, one of the things, the hallmarks of the laughter revival in the 90s, how many got involved with that whole movement? Not many. In the 90s, come on, put your hand up, don't be too ashamed. Yeah. Yeah. Right, exactly. That was the misuse of that. That was a misuse of that, but I'll tell you what, there was a lot of good things that came out of that. And one of the things it did, it made, if you remember, just before that was an intense prophetic apostolic move that was making the church a hard place, like I was getting, you know, a hard place, like if that's what it's all about, all the discipleship took on and God just came in and tickled us for a while. And some people took it to the fullest extent and misused it, but It was tremendous. We had some wonderful times. I chewed rug three nights a week on my on my back. It was a tremendous time. Of course, I had two teenagers at the house, so God knew I needed lots of laughter. It was either that or... Not me. I remember my son came right in the middle of this whole thing, and God was really moving in a powerful way. My son just got his license and came home, walked in the door. He was white as a sheet. And I knew what happened. He had had my car out, so I knew he wrecked my car. I started to laugh. He thought I went nuts. He thought he's like ready for me to hit him. I walked out in the driveway and just laughed and laughed and laughed. He still talks about that today. He thought I lost my nut. But you know what I did? And this is for somebody. You know what I did? I called the insurance company, told them my son was driving. He said, "Why don't you tell them you were driving, Dad?" What was wrong with that? I could have done that. It was a lie, right? And that spoke to my son still talks about that. Because, you know, the normal thing is saying, because our insurance went way up because he was 16 years old and wrecked the car. We had to pay in New York. You paid some. I think our insurance went up like $300-$400 a year. But I laughed. He helped me pay the rest of the insurance, though. I didn't laugh that long. God's playful. How many know God is playful with us? He gave us the ability to laugh and carry on. He wants us to have joy. It's often easy to picture God as a stern ruler who is always serious and never smiling, but that's not true. It's far, far from the actual truth. I find humor throughout the Word of God. What's up? Two by two, they came into the ark. Come on, that had to be some funny stuff. The snail. How did the snail get on the ark? Still waiting. Don't close the doors yet. Here they come. Third generation snails coming on the ark. It's just funny stuff. After all, he created man in his own image, so he's capable of every emotion. Luke 18. I'll close with that. We'll have a little bit of fun just visiting. Luke 18. Say, what did Jesus say about this? Luke 18 and 17. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me," in verse 16, "and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive..." Is that the right one? Maybe I got it backwards. I'm dyslexic. 18:17. Oh. Yeah, "Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." How many know what the child does first is laugh? How many know every time I see a kid, I want to see him laugh? I think every child should laugh till they're at least 12, 13 years old. They should take anything seriously. Come on. Laugh, have fun, be a kid. Kids are asked to be adults way too soon. When I was 12 years old, I didn't know what a girl was. I never came to the house unless I had to. I was out riding my bike, having fun, being laughing, just carry on. Come on, somebody. We need to get back to that. God was talking to me, and I'm going to develop it before Sunday. But God was talking to me about information. Remember what it was like to sit down with an older person and ask them advice? We don't do that anymore. You know what our oldest person is? Google. It's impersonal. It's one-dimensional. Any information a kid needs to know, no matter how old they are, they Google it and they got the information. And they're speaking the information as if they were 80 years old. And they're giving the advice to everybody else without even self-checking anything. They're putting advice on them. And God said, we've lost the ability to communicate with one another. The wisdom of the older giving to the younger. It's hilarious. Some of the stuff you see that people just post for no reason at all. Where did you get that? Well, I found it on a site. Well, did you fact-check the site? A meteor is headed towards the earth. We'll strike at midnight tonight. Get your house in order. Come on, somebody. But God is a humorous God. And He wants us to laugh. And I don't know what's exactly God's doing with me, but I know He's doing something fantastic. Preparing the cabin for departure is fun. It's fun. He's showing me all kinds of things about that, and I'll be sharing that on Sunday. But what do you think? What's this laughter doing for you? Had you been thinking about it? Is God ministering that to you? Where did I go that was... Oh, I went to the airport to pick up Don Richter a month early. Okay, all right. Thank you very much. Come on, what's God saying to you? Yes. You want to laugh? Which highway to heaven? Even their serious things are funny. Because it was really tacky. But it's funny. Always got a good message, but it's hilarious. Yeah, we all have testimony of, you know, humor. When I was a youth pastor, I've told the story. I was working as a DJ and I wrecked my car coming home. Hit a barn going 55 miles an hour, walked away from it. Totally destroyed the car. Went and got another car. Terry got it. We got a station wagon. She drove it. The only accident she's ever had. She totaled the car 2 weeks after my accident. Then the church felt sorry for me, the church I was employed by, and they gave me the church car. And it was a nice car, and I'm driving around an S-curve, and a lady crosses the double yellow line, hits me head on. All of our furniture was destroyed by that point. It's a whole nother story. So we had no money, had no furniture, and I'm standing in the road waiting for the cops, and the senior pastor comes over. We get word to him, and he comes over, and I'll never forget it. It was so serious. I thought, man, I'm going to get fired. Here I've had three accidents. I wrecked the car. She wrecked the car. I wrecked the church car. He comes walking up. It's cold. He's got his hat on. I can still see him. His hands in his pocket. He looked both ways and he goes, whose fault was it? I laughed. He must have thought I was nuts. But it broke it. Yes. No electricity. It's a good thing you put your shirt and pants on for you. Listen, we are about to live the greatest revival the world has ever seen. And we need to get ready. And part of the getting ready is just, let's not take ourselves so seriously. It's going to happen. And God's in charge. I'm so glad He's in charge. I'm so glad He didn't give the baton to me or anybody else. He's in charge. How many know God's in charge? He knows what He's going to do, so it's going to take place. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Father, I thank You for Your goodness to us. I thank You, Lord, that You have such a sense of humor. We look around at each other and we tell stories. We naturally laugh, God. We don't know how we made it this far in life without being gone, God. It's impossible to even know, Father, some of the things You brought us through. You've been so faithful. You've been so faithful and You kept us sweet through all this, God. And none of us in this room can look back and say You've been unfair at any turn. You've always been fair. You've always taken care of us, God. We're overjoyed at Your relationship with us and we love You. Let us embrace that, Father. Embrace that truth. We pray for the folks here at New Life, God, that there would be just such a sense of destiny in what You're doing, God. What a wonderful time to be alive, to serve You, Father. All of these things, the perfect storm coming together, that You might be the champion of the age. You're going to step on the stage and that's it. It's going to take place, God. And so we're looking for that, God. We're looking forward to the author and the finisher of our faith coming for Your bride. And in the meanwhile, Father, lift our hearts. God, we give great blessing and joy to You, Father. We thank You for all that You give us. We're so grateful for who You are and what You are in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.